Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
I have written my thing, and now I feel like all morning I've been adding things to the beginning of it, so I'll shoot for the time frame. Thank you for all that those nice things you say about me. I it takes part of my story away, but I'll just, you know, whatever. Yeah, there you go. Would save me some time.
You know what? That's Gail.
Is she always stealing stories? Yeah. So I want to just start by saying the good news is I'm only half terrified to be here with you. And the reason that's such good news is about a month ago I spoke with the Seekers Church and I was completely terrified. So look at the progress. I had not ever spoken at Seekers, and they are sweet people, but I didn't know them. And I figured out sometime this week, you're not so nervous, because I know so many of you all, and you all have known Jubilee Jumpstart for so long. And so that will come up later in what I talk about, that relationship makes a big difference. What I want to do, I'm all distracted because I'm supposed to read the scripture and do it from my phone because it's 2016. And I've been reading from it on my phone all week. The other things I would just say is that contrary to what it might seem like, I'm not trained as a teacher, even though I lead a little school. I'm a social worker. So it's not my natural instinct to teach. I would much rather sit and listen.
You're teaching now.
That's right. That's why I'm saying I'm so nervous because I'm not naturally a teacher. But I do often speak to groups about Jubilee Jumpstart, and that is a great joy, actually. But what I want to challenge myself to is to share with you a little bit about myself, not just my children and parents. And so that's what I'll be trying to do, to tell you a little bit about how I found myself in God's kingdom in a basement on Ontario Road. But let me start by reading the scripture that I've been meditating on this week. And it is Luke 16, chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." The word of God.
Thanks be to God.
So from its first words, the scripture from Luke today brought up many things that felt familiar to me. Here in Adams Morgan, it is not uncommon to see folks of means walking past the sick and the poor. Lazarus is practically invisible to the rich man, even right at the entrance to his home. And I must confess that I struggle with this myself sometimes, walking up and down Columbia Road. Secondly, the perception that people deserve the life circumstances they find themselves is painfully common. First century listeners of this parable would not have assumed that the rich man was evil and that the poor man was righteous. On the contrary, wealth in the ancient world was often viewed as a sign of divine favor, while poverty was viewed as evidence of sin. I'm sorry to say it's not so different today, when immediate judgments are often passed on single mothers with low incomes and black men with car trouble. Mm. Thanks to my life lived among 50 children under five, another familiar concept I saw here was that of consequences. We do a lot with consequences at Jubilee Jumpstart. It's so natural that children understand it. When the story finds the rich man in Hades paying eternally for his sin of not seeing Lazarus during his time on earth, he is experiencing the ultimate in consequences. Blessedly, when a three-year-old jumpstarter hits a friend and then sees his friend is hurt and doesn't want to play with him for a while, he gets to learn about consequences in a less final way. Because thank goodness forgiveness is in abundant supply in early childhood. In fact, the developmentally appropriate process of experimenting and growing through experience leads to one more familiar part of the scripture reading. Neither the rich man nor Abraham had much hope for the man's brothers learning and changing their ways because of what happened to him. People of a certain age, by which I mean grown-ups, can have a tendency to fall into a combo platter of habit and hopelessness. Sometimes we have a habit we see no problem with, and we don't understand why we would change it. And other times we have a habit that we desperately want to change, but have fallen into hopelessness about doing things differently. The rich man believes his brothers need a dramatic intervention to avoid his fate, and Abraham even seems cynical about their openness if they won't listen to Moses. This feels familiar in many ways, particularly with people making pronouncements about what others need and how they are likely to respond. I'm constantly amazed at the timelessness of the Bible stories. So as many or maybe all of you know, Jubilee Jumpstart is a special little place born of love and vision of the Church of the Savior community. Gail Arnell, Ann Barnett, Joe Collier, Nona Beth Cresswell, even Kate Lasso was totally helpful to in our early days. With the support of Eighth Day and other churches, founded Jubilee Jumpstart to be a beloved learning community for the youngest children and the most vulnerable families. Our vision is clearly aligned with Eighth Day's because listen to it, I looked at yours and then I said, that's a lot like ours. no surprise. At Jubilee Jumpstart, we envision a just and compassionate society in which children of all social and economic backgrounds receive the loving care and diverse social experiences they need to reach their highest potential and contribute to the common good. So now for over 7 years, praise be to God, we've been living into our mission to prepare low-income children for success in school and life through high-quality, evidence-based programming focused on social and emotional well-being in partnership with families in the community. And every time when I finish that, I say, those are a lot of words, but I'll tell you a few words that I always use to describe us. Jubilee Jumpstart, it's where everybody learns. Little people to tall people. Everybody learns. This scripture has me thinking about how we live, love, and learn at Jubilee Jumpstart as part of God's kingdom. We recognize that our neighborhood is changing all around us. When we were founded, even just about a decade ago, Adams Morgan was quite different. And while we're committed to children with the greatest need receiving the highest quality of care and education, we also see opportunities in serving the full community as it is now. One element that makes our classrooms extra powerful is having children from different backgrounds in it. Multiple languages, different family structures, even varying household incomes and parental education make our classrooms richer for children. And diversity isn't only good for children, it's good for parents too. We've long known that children create communities in their classrooms, but our parent coffee hour, our parent meetings, and our center celebrations literally create a community among our families that continues outside of our center walls and beyond the years that our children are enrolled. The universal challenge and growth that all families experience with young children is fertile ground for life-altering and lifelong relationships. And because there is no walking past the poor and the sick in our center, and there's no perception of who deserves great care and who doesn't, we're proud to be one of the rare spaces where everyone is seen and welcomed and loved. Our children learn that they are beloved, and they learn how to be loving to others. And their parents learn it too, slower of course, because they are grown-ups. But then again, grown-ups are really only tall children, so they do grow it. They do learn it. Speaking of learning, let's go back to consequences. The rich man certainly had his, and children, grown-ups alike, experience our own all the time. At Jubilee Jumpstart, we value mistakes so much we just call them learning. Do you all know that Thomas Edison quote about how he said, I don't think I failed 2,000 times. I learned 2,000 ways it won't work. We believe in that. As in all things, children bounce back from mistakes quickly, innately understanding them to be part of the process of living and growing. And while it may feel easier to understand and even forgive mistakes made by children, after all, they are learning, our parents and staff are accepted, encouraged, and supported through mistakes too. For what we know about people is this: they cannot give what they do not have. And if we want our children to be cared for and guided by accepting patient, supportive people, those folks need to know what that feels like. No mistake, and no learning for that matter, is the end-all be-all for anyone at Jubilee Jumpstart. Even when mistakes are so frequent they seem like a habit. We are pleased to share this in our Church of the Savior DNA with other ministries such as Jubilee Jobs, Christ House, and Jubilee Housing. Our little piece of the world is lit up with learning and grace for every person, again, no matter how tall they are. So finally, let's talk about how we love at Jubilee Jumpstart. I have to tell you, I wasn't surprised that the rich man asked for Lazarus to help his brothers, either because of his love for them, or simply to help them avoid his outcome, or both. But then I was a little surprised to have Abraham basically saying they were hopeless. We at Jubilee Jumpstart are righteously convinced that growth and change happen through love. We've seen it happen too many times to deny it. We are wired for connection, not just to survive, but to thrive. Children only learn in relationship, and grown-ups only change in relationship. Of course, individuals study and take action and build skills independently. We are simply made to be in community with one another, and we're able to try more and know more and be more with the support of others who cheer us on, pick us up when we stumble, and expose us to new ideas. God's love is our deepest relationship, and it is nothing if not completely transformative. We at Jubilee Jumpstart strive to live in God's light by sharing love and hope with all, not just in our little family, but in our wider community. As best I know, kingdom living is simply living with hope and love and inclusion. Jubilee Jumpstart was born and nurtured with these ideals, and thanks be to God, the humans involved work and pray every day to make it so. So let me tell you about how this has transformed me before I found myself in Hades. Right. I'm glad I've skipped that so far. As Gail told you, I came to Jubilee Jumpstart with a heart for children and parents and a yearning for equity and justice. And I've been like that my whole life, but things got deep in that little basement. As I often say, God lives on Ontario Road. And there has been great need and amazing joy, all because of God being right there with us. During my 5.5 years at Jubilee Jumpstart, I've learned and loved a lot, most of all in my relationship with God. I grew up as a good Methodist girl, determined to serve others and share God's love. It took meeting our families and becoming part of this community with you all, and being forced to face my fears of inadequacy, for me to realize I'd written myself out of the great story I was telling everyone. You could say I'd fallen into some hopeless habits. just like getting older, or parenting, running a small nonprofit isn't for sissies. Yeah. And there have been many times it's brought me to my knees, if not all the way to the floor, curled up in a ball. I struggled, and still struggle, don't get me wrong, through fears about finances and doing the right thing for these children and these parents whom I love so much, and all of their caregivers, actually. Don't ever let me forget the teachers. So I struggled long and hard enough to finally reach out for help, and I not only found friends and colleagues and our own parents willing to help, but I really found God patiently waiting for me and welcoming me more fully into his love. And by finally accepting myself as a beloved child of God, I found new, deeper ways to serve and love the small and tall children around me. I was delighted to learn that Lazarus's name means God helps. Jubilee Jumpstart was built upon the idea of God helps. And we continue, like any good story, finding that radical, transformative ways of bringing God's kingdom into and out of this basement on Ontario Road requires an endless loop of deep faithfulness and God's love. Our precious children and their parents are changed and will have different lives because of this. I had no idea that I needed the life-saving grace and love as much as anyone, but I am eternally grateful for learning it. I'm strengthened by God's love as I finally experience it myself in community with you. God helps. Thanks be to God. I was going to end there, but I want to say one more thing because of what Gail asked us to do with at the very beginning. Yeah. I think of the name. Thank you, the lamentation and the confession. Because that is my daily lifelong struggle, is to let it come up and let it go. And so the first thing I thought was, please forgive me for not being as prepared as I want to be. And then I said, oh, let it go. You've made it right for what this is, right? And I also heard Gail say, confessing how fast she moves through life, to just keep going. And I just want to tell you a little bit about life with little children. They slow you down. Okay. And they slow you down in the most wonderful way if you can let it happen. So what we see and work through with parents and even teachers is let the children lead you. They need to go slow because they are not going fast. They are not rushing through the miracle of this world. They are low enough to the ground to see and feel and smell everything that's all around them, and they must explore it. They must stop and look at that rock or that little bug or that leaf. They must stop, and if you are a lucky grown-up who realizes you do have the time to stop. You don't just pull that arm and keep going. They actually change everything for themselves and for the child to know that them stopping and learning about this is important. This grown-up says it so, and then the grown-up is changed, because I can't tell you how many times I've realized, oh, that's just a leaf, and then it's an amazing moth. Or I thought, oh, that's, no, that's fine. And no, in fact, that's a little nail sticking out of something. Right. So I think the thing that this morning has helped me to remember, and I wanted to share with you, is that I do love children. I love them because they change me and they grow me every day. And I think that they are little vessels of God all around us. I want you all to, if you run into a child, go ahead and let their wonder and delight grab you for a minute, because it will change you. Thank you all.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.